Good morning. Turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 9, we'll begin in verse 32 this morning. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Now as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping, showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Let us pray. Righteous Heavenly Father, thank you for preserving this word to us about the work that you did through your servant Peter. Righteous Father, we have come to you for healing and for life, because we know that you are the author of life. We know that you are the author of salvation. And Father, help us to appreciate the great promises that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, as we consider the works of his Apostle Peter. Help us, Father, to know that on our own, spiritually, we are paralyzed. That we are helpless and incapable of finding our own way. Help us, Father, to know more than that, that in sin we are dead. That through the work of your Son, you have saved us from death and brought us into new life. And Father, help us to consider that you have called us together into one body, the body of your Son, the church. And help us, Father, together to eagerly await the promised coming of your Son. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, we've got a brief reading this morning, so I have prepared a brief message for it. We'll make up for it tonight. The reading this morning relates two miracles performed by Peter. You have the healing of Aeneas and the raising of Tabitha. We should say a word about that, by the way, because in verse 36, Luke tells us that there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas, which would have meant more to his Greek-speaking readers than it means to us. It's not exactly a translation to us. The name just means gazelle. So, now, since Luke wants us to know what the name means, now we know what it means. Or we could say it another way. Dorcas is the Greek name for Tabitha. So, Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas, which translated means Tabitha. So, that aside, we have the healing of Aeneas, and the raising of Tabitha. And both of these miracles that we've read this morning should sound familiar to us. Now, these are things that we have heard before, and I don't mean just these particular stories. I mean that these stories should remind us of other stories that we have heard, particularly miracles that our Lord performed. Peter here is imitating our Lord as he heals Aeneas and as he raises Tabitha. And remembering these two miracles of Jesus that we're going to look at this morning, you know, performed again by Peter, will give us our lesson for today. So first, Peter heals a paralytic named Aeneas. He tells him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." Now, this should remind us of a similar miracle that we read about in the Gospels. Go to Luke chapter 5. I'll read from verse 17. "On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, 'Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home.' And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, 'We have seen extraordinary things today.'" Right, two paralytic men, similar instructions given to both. Right, rise, take up your bed, take up the thing that you're lying on, and go. We should remember the point of the healing miracles. Right, in Acts, we've seen enough healing miracles, but by the time we reach Aeneas' healing in Acts chapter 9, we should think of it almost as a shorthand. Right, it's calling our minds back to the healing miracles of the Gospels. We should remember the lessons from those healing miracles. It's stated explicitly in the case of this paralytic man in Luke chapter 5. What is the point? Why is Jesus restoring this man's ability to walk? Why is he healing them? The healing miracles signify Jesus' power to forgive sins. And it is, in fact, a form of... It's almost like earnest money, as it were. It's a down payment or a promise that this man is receiving his health, and it's proof that Jesus is able to give him far greater than just the ability to walk. He is able to forgive him his sins. They are a visible demonstration of the power of Jesus Christ to make a person whole, not just in their body, but in their soul. And that includes cases such as we read elsewhere in the Gospels and such as in today's reading in Acts 9, where the forgiveness of sins is not explicitly mentioned. We should remember, again, the point of these healing miracles is not just unto themselves. We see the result of this miracle, by the way. Again, the miracle extends outside of its own immediate effects. It's not just about giving Aeneas his ability to walk back. We see the results of it in verse 35 of Acts chapter 9. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. They see the power of Jesus Christ exercised through Peter that has healed Aeneas, and they turn to the Lord. The second miracle in today's reading is the raising of Tabitha. And this, likewise, should remind us of the raising miracles of Jesus. He performed several of them. But it reminds me especially of the occasion where he raised the widow's son in Nain. Turn to Luke chapter 7. I don't know if you remember the widow of Nain. We'll read about her in verse 11. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Tabitha's situation is similar, in that she has been providing for the widows of Joppa, just as this young man would have been providing for his mother in Nain. Tabitha was giving these widows, we suppose, the very clothes on their backs. Remember the mourning that they engage in. All the widows stood beside Peter, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. And of course, one of the first things that we read about her in verse 36 is that she was a woman full of good works and acts of charity. There's a reason that these widows are in her house mourning her death. And now, like the widow of Nain, these widows of Joppa have lost their benefactor. But just as the widow of Nain found a benefactor in Jesus, so do the widows of Joppa find a benefactor in Peter. Peter restores Tabitha to them, and in doing so, he repeats the great message of the gospel, which is the promise of life over death. That when it looks like you are in the direst of straits, the Lord, through his great mercy and through the power of Jesus Christ, will restore you to what you need. Again, he has the power of life over death. Now, the point of these miracles, why Luke is recording these miracles in the book of Acts in our reading this morning, at this point in the church's story, is to remind us that the work begun in Jesus is continued in the church. The promises that are begun in Jesus are continued in the church. Jesus promised the forgiveness of sins, and he promised the victory of life over death. And it was his will that these promises continue to be offered in the mission of the church. Again, not that we are the ones forgiving sins or granting the resurrection. Of course, we recognize that that comes through Jesus Christ. But we are the ones making the proclamation. And we are the people to whom it has been granted to receive the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the dead. Today's reading is one of the few places, by the way, in the book of Acts where we find Christians referred to as saints. It happens a lot in the New Testament more broadly. But for some reason in the book of Acts, Luke does not use that term to describe Christians very often. He uses the word to describe the Holy Spirit. He uses it to describe Jesus as the holy servant of God. He uses that word all over the place in the book of Acts. But when it comes to talking about Christians, he only uses this word four times in the whole book. And we've just read two of them this morning. In these stories about healing and the restoration of life given by the power of Jesus Christ through the work of the church, we're reminded of what that healing accomplishes, because the word saint means holy one. The word that's being translated there refers to someone who is holy. That's the meaning of the word saint. The promise of the gospel is that we can be delivered out of darkness and sin and into holiness and light. We can be restored. We can be brought out of death and into life. And that is why we find Peter doing what he's doing in today's reading. This is why we, to this day, continue to proclaim the forgiveness of sins that is the healing of the soul. We continue to proclaim the life eternal through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because we, along with Peter, point to a power greater than ourselves. Notice what Peter does in Acts 9:34. Peter doesn't say, "Aeneas, I heal you." He says, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." That, in other words, in a very important sense, as we compare Aeneas, the miracle of Aeneas, to the miracle in Luke 5, the paralytic let down through the roof, it's the same one performing the miracle both times. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name alone can all people find wholeness, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. And that is the word that we proclaim this morning, and the invitation that we lay before all people. That you lay hold of this new life offered in Jesus Christ through the proclamation of the church. We invite you to turn away from the life of sin, to confess Jesus is Lord, to be baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of sins, and to live faithfully. If you're subject to that invitation, won't you come forward as together we stand and sing?